help somebody.
You have to be sensitive to the opportunities that God gives you to be a greater blessing
to everybody that's around you. Amen. So I'm expecting that. I'm expecting God to give me instruction, divine instruction. I'm expecting opportunities like never before. And I'm looking for divine appointments, favor connections. Amen. They're going to help us do the will of God. I'm going to help somebody else do the will of God, find the will of God. And I believe in return, God will help us do what we need to do in the kingdom. Amen. How many know it's all about the kingdom? Kingdom first. Amen. Everybody say kingdom first. Got to put the kingdom first. Amen. And so this is going to happen because we trust God. You remember I shared with you the man, two men in Jeremiah, one that did not trust in God but trusted in man and the arm of flesh. The Bible says that he would be like a shrub in the desert and that he would not see good when it came. In other words, when you don't trust God, the goodness of God will pass right by you and you'll not have the discernment to see it. When you don't trust God, you lose your spiritual perception and discernment. The Bible says that he would dwell in dry places. That means that he would live in a place where there's not enough, where it's barren, dry, just a hard place. The Bible says about the man that trusts in God, the Bible says that he would be like a tree, not a shrub, but a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen. The Bible says he would not see heat when it comes. In other words, there'll be protection from the heat. And the Bible says that he will not even see when there's poverty in the land. When there's famine in the land, he won't be affected by it. So trusting in God is the key to living. Amen. Learning how to trust God, learning how to believe his word. Amen. It'll be a protection for you. It'll keep you green and vibrant, full of life, full of joy, full of victory, not dry and barren and depressed. Full of criticism and, you know, just murmuring and complaining. You know, find people like that, that's because they're in a dry place. Okay? But people that are living their life by the word, they will live by the streams of life, by the rivers of living water. Amen? And they'll always be positive and they'll have a great attitude. They will look at life through the eyes of joy. They'll see victory even in the midst of defeat, you know. They see things that can't be seen by other people. And God wants you to live by faith. And he wants you to trust him and to believe him that he can do what he has declared that he's going to do. Now, I believe that the Lord has spoken in 2012 is going to be the best year of your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. I heard Kenneth Copeland say that last week. 2012 will be the best, will be the year of God's best. Amen. You haven't seen God's best blessings yet. And I say if you already had God's best, go on home. Go on and be with the Lord. If you didn't experience everything God got for you, just go on home. If everything from now on is downhill for you, then go on home. I haven't had God's best, and I've had a lot of good, and I've had some good. I've had God's good. But I believe there's better, and I believe there's more. Amen. I believe that I haven't seen the best that God can do. Amen. You haven't seen God's best yet. Don't care how old you are. This has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with youth. Amen. It has everything to do about what you believe God for. Amen. So open your Bible to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to look at an example of great faith in the Bible because that's the level that God wants you to operate in. God doesn't want you to have a little bit of faith. He doesn't want you to have shipwrecked faith. Amen. He wants you to have great faith, strong faith. He doesn't want your faith to be weak and puny. He wants you to live with strong faith, great faith. That's what we're aiming for. Amen. Because great faith produces great results. Tell your neighbor, say, great faith will produce great results. All right? All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 5. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me just read down, because there's healing in this. There's healing in this chapter. Let's get all of it. Let's look at verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Here's an instant miracle right here. We can settle forever. Is it God's will for you to be healed? Yes, it is. Jesus is always willing to heal. Amen. And Jesus said to him, "See thou tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto thee." And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast in the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go your way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Amen. Now, we see an example here. The Bible's giving us the Holy Spirit. Saw fit to put this in the Word of God. An example of someone who moved with great faith. Amen. And then we see that great faith produced a great result. But we need to look at this. What made the centurion's faith so great? Why was his faith great, and why did Jesus marvel? That means Jesus was really amazed. And if you can amaze Jesus, you done a good work. I mean, he's the creator of everything. Amen? How many know he's the creator? And if you can amaze him, I'm going to tell you, your faith can amaze him even today. He can still be amazed by your faith. I was reading that one time, and I said, I wonder if I've ever done anything or said anything that amazed Jesus. And I'm going to tell you that I have and you have, if you've ever made a statement of faith from your heart, I'm going to tell you, he still loves faith, and he's still looking for faith. In fact, the Bible says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will faith still be present on earth? Will people still be living by faith, trusting in God when he comes back? I'm going to tell you, I want to know why his faith was so great. Because he received a great miracle for his servant. Amen. And it caused Jesus to marvel. Have I ever said anything that made Jesus marvel? Have you? I'm going to tell you, you get an opportunity today. We can marvel Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's take a look. Let's go back and let's look at what's happening here. And let's look at this and let's glean from these scriptures here what we need for where we are today so that we can do God's will effectively and efficiently. Look at verse 5. Let's go back to verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, a Roman soldier, beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said unto him, "I will. will come and heal him. Hallelujah. Now, the centurion was a Roman soldier. He's not even an Israelite. He's a Roman soldier. But Luke chapter 7 tells us that he heard about Jesus. And when he heard about Jesus and what he was doing, it caused faith to arise in his heart. This soldier was a good soldier. In fact, the Bible says that he had even built the synagogue for the Jews. And the Jews were really impressed with him. He was a man that loved the nation of Israel. He loved the Israelites. He even built them a synagogue, a Roman soldier who built the synagogue. But this man heard about Jesus, and he had a servant that got sick. And so he sought for Jesus. When Jesus entered into Capernaum, he was engaged in a conversation with this Roman soldier. His servant was sick. In other words, he was paralyzed and in intense, excruciating pain, tormenting pain. And Luke chapter 7 tells us that he was ready to die. This servant was almost dead. And he was in excruciating pain. Now, this is important for us to realize what's going on here. Jesus' response to this officer's request was immediate. Jesus' response was, I will come and heal him, showing his desire and willingness to heal, to restore, and to deliver from oppression.
Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, the pastor of the Lord Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Something said when he touched me, I started to cry.